large crowd. We're going to open it up to questions. And John, are you getting the microphone to help us with questions? Okay, we're going to, in the House of Representatives, they give me a 1 minute to ask my questions, do my stuff. It takes a little 1 minute rule. So to try to get through this, we're going to give you a minute and a half. That keeps people from standing up and going on these long tangents, right? And respect the person in line next behind them. So John, he's going to manage that for the minute and a half. We're going to go to start questions and comments.
Randy Brule, Washington County Sheriff Parenting Legislation Hub. Just a page.
Testing.
Let's talk a little louder. Randy Brule, Brilla Press. I'm proud of IBEW union member. Would you consider working with me on shared parenting and schedule something in the future?
I did not fully understand the question, so get with our staff and let's have a conversation afterwards.
Yes.
Linda Yuselman, question.
Yes.
Trump is defunding Department of Education, which is great as far as I'm concerned. We need to get rid of the whole thing. So is that Congress has to pass bills to make it continue on?
Okay.
Is Congress going to?
So let me give you the history of the Department of Education. We did not have a federal Department of Education other than a statistical service prior to 1979. Okay. It flips a lot of people's lid when you start talking about getting rid of the Department of Education. But if you go back and you look at our ACT scores, the equivalent, but relative to the ACT or NAEP scores, what you'll find is like the 1979 period, you would find in recent history, when you look at a graph, our scores are doing this, they're going down. And so what has happened to educational attainment relative to as the federal government's grown its influence on the federal level? So what our founders believed in, what you'll find in Federalist 45, was that there should be a laboratory of democracy, a laboratory of experimentation among the states. They believed that. And that the power of the Fed should be few and finite, limited, but the power of the states numerous and indefinite. And so that you could have state models that would be out there, and that people would peek across in another state and go, ooh, what they're doing in education, let's start implementing some of that. But a one-size-fits-all does not lend itself to ingenuity or a new way of seeing problems. It blends just complacency. So what I contend, what I think you are contending, that some people in this room can't imagine a world without a federal Department of Education, go talk to my mother, who was an educator prior to 1979, and there was a world before the federal government was dictating on high how students in America could learn to read and write, and they actually could excel, and you didn't have social ideology pushed from the highest end of government down to the global classroom. I'm all for it. I believe it needs to return back to what it was prior to 1979. Yes, sir.
John Spence, been working with your folks on wind turbines, Green New Deal since January. I want to tell everybody everything Josh's folks told me, Dan, Josh, and Tamara, has happened, including we had such a big bill that really didn't get what we wanted, and we got the executive order.
We did get an executive order.
We now have rules. So my question to you is, we now have rules from Scott Bessent. Is it going to be sufficient? Is what we've got in place now going to be sufficient to stop these turbine problems?
They knew we had a bunch of people in Congress who had gotten on the dole for the wind industry and the solar industry, financially. And they knew we were fighting it because everybody loves the max checks from these, you know, corporate entities who are more than happy to, every year, this is the history of what has happened since the 1990s, go page. Thank you. This is the history of Congress. When you go back and look at my comments when I had to build up that first time relative to getting the solution over the weekend, I pointed to the fact that what Wynn specifically had done in Oklahoma on a state level. And what I would later on see in this chart, 13 different times Congress, starting was way back in the 1990s, said, when we get done with this amount of period of years, we'll start getting rid of the production tax credit, the subsidy, the refundable tax credit going to wind. And guess what happened? 13 different times. Congress would come back in and go, yeah, we didn't really mean that. Who was changing that? The lobbyists handing out the checks. And so when we were going to be asked to go out, as I told people in leadership, I'm not going to go out to my constituents and tell them we saved $500 billion over the Green New Scam when I know what's going to happen. So what we fought for, what did end up getting done, we had a much better version after our negotiation that weekend that Chip and myself spearheaded. And the Senate went in and did some changes. The Senate made a change for anybody to get admittance that first year, and they would have 4 years. First year. But they had to reach what is an IRS definition of commenced construction. That is in IRS code. And what President Trump and his team, with wise understanding, did, that 3 days after we all agreed to sign off on this deal, they went and said, "This, we're not going to let this thing be open for abuse for whoever wants to just say that they've commenced construction because they threw some gravel out on the ground to create a road and we might build a windmill over here. We might do solar." So what happened is you automatically saw the wind industry start doing this financially. If you started financial investments, you saw that, okay? And so there's a lot of people who know the wind industry and the solar. I'm not anti-wind or solar. I'm anti them taking your money to prop up their industry and